Father, we love you, your word, and we enjoy getting into it each week because we realize, God, as we unlock the truths of your word, God, we unlock blessings over our lives, over every part of our life. And once again today, as we dive into your word, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to enlighten us, reveal to us the things that we need to see individually and corporately so that we can walk in all the freedom and blessing that you have for us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
If you're a newcomer to our church, hopefully someone stopped you along the way, gave you a newcomer card. We're thankful that you're here. Take that card out to the information station if you have one. We have a free gift just for you visiting today. And if you're one of our regular attendants and you have a bulletin and you'd like to leave me your name because you want me to pray for you, you can give that to me after church. You can hand it to my wife. You can hand it to any one of our ushers, anyone who's serving here. And they'll make sure that I get it, and I will pray for you all week long. All right. This is the last week. I was actually going to stop the message series last week. And as I began to study last week, I realized that there's a whole other sermon beyond where I stopped last week in Philippians chapter 4. I've been preaching through the book of Philippians, talking about that joy is yours with Jesus. How many of you have begun to walk in the joy of the Lord? How many of you are experiencing the joy of the Lord, even as you go through difficulties in your life? All right, so five of you. Anybody else? Anybody else is here? Because, you know, having the joy of the Lord as a Christian is not something that you have to go find. You already own it. Right? I told you that the joy of the Lord, it is there because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, God has deposited within each of us fruit. I told you that we bear fruit like the fruit that we are. Right? If you call yourself a Christian, then the fruit of a Christian is these things. Found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love. Joy. You go around hating people, you might not be who. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against those things, there is no law, right? And he says, those are the identifying markers of a Christian. And we all have those things. Now, how many of you have muscles? You have muscles. I think all of you have muscles. Now, some of your muscles not as big as other people's muscles because you don't work. How many gym rats in the house? Anybody go to the gym? Come on, that's all. You people need to get into a membership. See, that's why your muscles ain't big, because you're not working. And it's the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not seeing those things coming out on the outside as you go through stuff in life, then you probably are not exercising the fruit. Remember, the Apostle Paul writes the letter to the Philippian church from a dungeon, from a prison cell. Where his own refuse was in the corner, where it was cold, and it was damp, and it was dark, and it was nothing nice, and not one of us in this place would say, I'll go there for Jesus. Take me, Jesus. And yet Paul, throughout the letter to the Philippian church, writes constantly over 30 times, about having and living in this thing called joy. How? Because he realized that joy wasn't a cause. It wasn't an effect of the things happening around him. It was a cause of something that happened inside of him. Right? I told you that a lemon tree produces lemons, and an apple tree produces apples, and rose bushes produce thorns. And I told you that you go to a football game, you're going to see some football. If you go to a hockey match, you're going to see a fight. If you talk to a Christian, you should see those things.
Yes.
Today, so the last couple of weeks, this is what I talked about. Week number one, I talked about the fact that what Jesus starts, he finishes. He started a work. You didn't start a work. He started a work in every one of you. And here's the good thing. How many of you think you are where you should be? how many of you are satisfied with where you are spiritually? None of us. Hopefully you don't raise your hand because I'll punch you up. None of us are satisfied, but we know this. We're not where we used to be. Amen to that. Your wife's probably hit me in the ribs on that. Jesus always finishes what he starts. Week number two, I talked about the fact that humility is the pathway to joy. When we decide we're going to humble ourselves before God, he fills us with his joy. Humbling yourself before God is the greatest place to be. In other words, that almost gets to the place where we surrender control. We surrender our authority to Jesus, and then he fills us with this humble attitude. And I promise you, there you'll find joy. Week number three, I talked about the fact that your past is behind you. How many of you are saying amen to that? I'm so glad my past is behind me because I got one, right? And we all have one, and some of them are more colorful than others. Yeah. And here's what God's saying to you. That past doesn't define you. You see, Jesus ain't about your past. He's about your future. It's called your destiny. Last week, I talked to you about the fact that you can have joy because there's no reason to worry ever about anything. Any worriers in the house this morning? A lot of y'all. You don't need to worry ever. If you're a Christian and you're a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ, you don't have to worry. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. Right? But in everything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends your understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. You see, in Christ, there's no worry. I don't have to fear. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to worry because it's not for me. Today, I want to finish the series talking about that our joy is found in a place called contentment. I love what Paul does in the beginning of chapter 4, or verse 9 of chapter 4, he uses the word whatever. You know, your kids might just say, when you tell them something that they don't want to hear, whatever. You want a whatever upside the head, right? Yeah, I got you. Paul says, whatever. Regardless is what he's saying. Regardless of what has happened in the past, regardless of what is happening right now, regardless of what may happen in the future, you're okay because of what Jesus did for you. Get that? Whatever. Paul's perspective was one of contentment, never one of satisfaction. Now there's a big difference, stark difference between being satisfied and being content. To be content means that while you wait on God to do what he promised you he's going to do, you're okay in the waiting. That's where I've become recently, going through the wait with this building. Do you realize we closed on this building 6 months ago? And you can ask my wife, I ain't good at waiting. But all of a sudden, in the last 6 months, God has really grown me in this area. And he reminded me that, Eddie, while you wait, not that you're satisfied with where you are, but that you'll just be content where you are, knowing that behind the scenes, I'm still working.
Right.
You know what he was doing behind the scenes? Raising $519,000. That's what he's behind. Getting all the pieces of the puzzle in place. Setting all things up so that when the day came, we're ready. We're going to get Jerry retired so he can oversee our project. I got Jerry's the greatest foreman ever. Jerry's there every day making sure everything's like it's supposed to be, checking and double checking. He's the detail square. I love it. And I don't have to do it. Content, God, I'm content right where I am because I know this is not where I'm going to stay. Amen. Man. See, when you realize that where you are ain't where you're going to stay, you'll get it. Because I know you got something really good for me if I just wait. To be content means that while we wait on God, we're okay in the waiting. Satisfied means that while you wait on God, you just learn to accept where you are. Well, I guess it's my life. We've always struggled with finances. I guess it's where we're going to be. I've never had a great job. It's where we're going to be. My health has never been good. I guess it's just where I'm going to live. Who's buying into that for? That stuff. That ain't for you. You're a child of God. I think Jesus was here and said the same thing. See, the problem is if we buy into the lie that, well, this is as good as my marriage is ever going to get. I guess she's always going to be like that. I guess he's always going to be like that. Why are you buying into that? This is as good as my finances ever get. That's wrong. He wants to bless you. This is as good as my career is ever going to get. Listen, I heard Joe Osteen say that they one touch of God's favor. Listen, see, what I mean is that some of you buy into the lie that you're going to stay where you are, even though God's promised you something greater. Paul was in a prison cell. He had a promise that one day he would preach in Rome, but he didn't know that he would ever get out of that cell alive. You see, he held on to the fact that God's promise was greater than his circumstance. Some of y'all get so blinded by your circumstance. All about God's promise. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Go down to verse 9. We're going to start reading in verse 9. And we're going to read through verse 19. Then I'm going to preach to you a message about being content and living in a place called contentment. Paul said, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, that's what he said, put it into practice, and the God of peace will. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. Here's the secret. You don't want to know what the secret is? I can do all this through Him who strengthens me. I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. Yet it is good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. A content person has joy to do four things that I want to share, five things that I want to share with you this morning. The first one is this, to be a great example. Paul said, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. I love this verse, and I think about the context of what was happening in his life when he wrote it. He's in a prison cell, and he's telling the people, whatever you've heard from me or seen in me, or anything that you watch me be a part of or do that. Now, I can't say the same about myself. If I was in his situation, if I was in prison, they would probably know that I was upset being there, that I didn't want to be there. I was cold. I was hungry. I was tired. I didn't like the situation. I didn't like the surrender. I'd be moaning and groaning and complaining. Some of y'all with me, right? Yeah, amen. But Paul must have been a great example of joy. Must have been a great example to these people, even in the midst of the worst circumstances you can imagine. Because he said, whatever you've learned from me, received from me, or heard in me, put it into practice. You know, there are people around you every day that may only see Jesus. Hello? Hello? There They may only see Jesus in you. Have you ever thought about that? That you may be the bridge that connects someone from earth to heaven? Or you could be the bridge that connects someone from earth to hell, depending on how they perceive Jesus in you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want anyone to go to hell because of me. As a matter of fact, I want to take as many to heaven with me as I can. Right? You see, people that are content with who they are and where they are can be great examples of Jesus on the earth. Hey, listen, I didn't say I'm satisfied with where I am. I didn't say I'm satisfied waiting 6 months to start this project. I didn't say I'm satisfied just being where I am. I said I was content because I know that there's a promise of something greater down the road. And if I just wait on Jesus, you know what he's doing? He's doing stuff all behind the scenes that I can't see yet, I can't perceive yet, but it's still happening on your behalf. There's a guy in the Old Testament named Daniel. Daniel started praying for 21 days. He fasted and he prayed and he didn't see anything move. And all of a sudden, on day 21, the archangel comes to him and says, Daniel, from the day you set your face toward him, the day that you began to pray, all of heaven started moving on your behalf. I want you to know, when you start praying in faith, all of heaven starts moving on your behalf. See, but when we decide that we're going to be satisfied with where we are, that means that you're okay with status quo. Status quo means that I'll just buy into whatever it is I got. This is where I am. I guess this is where I'll be. I'll just be okay with mediocre. I guess I'll just be okay with it. Right now, I'll just be okay with this. You're a Christian. You're a child of the Most High God. And if you're a child of the Most High God, God, right here is where you're not going to stay. You may be here now, but this is not where you're going to stay. He's got something greater for you. Because see, my thought of status quo is it's got to go. And for Christians, that should always be your attitude. I'm never going to be satisfied with status quo when I have the promise of God telling me something greater is coming. Number two, a content person has joy to just go with the flow. How many go with the flow people besides me? Few of them. And the rest of y'all uptight can't go with the flow because you're just too worried about what's happening. You're too worried about what's going on around you. Paul said in verse 11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. No matter where I am and no matter what I'm doing it with Jesus. Paul said that. He basically, that's what he said. I'm here and I'm okay being here. Where Paul found himself, you know what? There he was. You know what? Sometimes you just have to just be present where you are instead of worrying about where you're not. And that's the problem. We're so worried about where we want to go and where we hope to go and where we dream of going that we just can't be present in the right here, right now. And right here, right now, somebody around you may need Jesus. See, we're not content to sit on our hands and just go with the flow. We usually cause the problems. Squawking, complaining. Even if it's not where you want to be, you can learn to be content where you are, even if you know that where you are is not where you're supposed to stay. You know that you've got a word from God, and yet you're here and not there. Do you know that when I was at my former church, I served my former church 10 years. For I bet you 8 of the 10 years, people were down. When are you going to leave and go do something else? Your talent's not being used here. Your gift's not being used here. I said, I am perfectly content here because God put me here. And until God says go, then I'm not moving from where I am. I want you to know people leave marriages too soon. People leave relationships too soon. People leave churches too soon. People leave your jobs too soon. And you didn't do it because you got a word from God. You did it because you had enough. Because you just dissatisfied. I just don't like where I am, and I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to make my own way. But listen to what happens. 9 times out of 10, when you decide to make your own way, you get your own results. Had I gone one day before Jesus said go, this wouldn't be happening today. Had I made one move outside of God's will, we wouldn't be here today. But I waited, and I waited, and I waited until God said, I didn't just wait, moaning and groaning and complaining the whole time. I did it, and I did it joyfully, and I did it faithfully for 10 years until God said, it's time. Here we are. I got his results, not my results. You got to learn to just go. Number 3, a content person has joy to find their strength in Christ. Paul said the secret of being content in any and every situation is this: I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Verse 13. The content person realizes that his or her strength comes from the Holy Spirit's presence in their lives. You ever done something in the past that's been hard for you, and all of a sudden you do it another time, and it was easier? And you say, well, I don't know how it became so easy. You know why it became so easy? Because you began to rely on more of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in your life to get you through. Instead of you doing it, he did. And it becomes easier and easier. Somebody asked me not too long ago, did I get nervous before I preach on Sundays? Not anymore. I get excited. I get pretty pumped up. I don't get nervous anymore like I used to. I used to get my mouth would get dry. My heart would be racing. I'd be nervous because I wasn't too good at it, you know? And now I feel like God's anointed me and empowered me to do this job, and now it becomes easier and easier because it's not me doing it. It's the Holy Spirit doing it through me. And when you begin to surrender and you begin to get content with God being God in you, you'll do things you've never done before, and you'll do them with such ease and excellence that you go, I don't know how that happened. Here's how it happened. You let God do it for you. Amen? Content person has joy to let blessings flow. Philippians 4:16, Paul tells the church at Philippi, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more may be credited to your account. The Philippian church loved the Apostle Paul so much that when he was on one of his journeys, they supported him financially. Now, from the tone of the letter, it would appear that it was really someone else's responsibility, but the people of Philippi didn't feel that way. They said, no, we love Paul. We love what Paul's doing. And so we want to support Paul. We're going to do it regardless of whether it's our responsibility or not. You see, they realize what I'm telling you right now, that because they blessed Paul, every time they did what they felt God was leading them to do, you know what God was doing on their head? Storing up blessings. Storing up blessings. Put them in an account for them and storing up blessings. I want you to know, every time that you give to the body of Christ, every time that you serve the body of Christ, every time that you step out and do something for Jesus, he's put credit in your account. He's not storing up. I hope I got so many blessings stored up one day that it's going to come and you're going to flood me like a hurricane. Not a real hurricane. Now, unfortunately, not enough of the body of Christ buys into this concept and this idea. You see, we get what we get and we hold on to it like this. I got it, it's mine, and I ain't letting it go. You know what I found when you hold on to stuff so tight that you won't let go? You got no room for more stuff. But when I learned to let that stuff go, and I'm like this, I let it flow in, and I let it flow out, because I realize it's not mine to begin with. It's all his, and it all comes from him, and I'm going to let it flow in, because he's going to... See, it's called a blessing stream, not a blessing dam. And I can't dam it off so that it stops with me. If I want to keep receiving blessings, I got to let the blessings flow in and let the blessings flow out. And then keep on coming. See, we hold on so tight to what we have, we have no room for anything else. When we open our hands, God's blessings flow through me. You know what happens? They keep coming. content person has joy to know that God is the meeter of all, meets all their needs. He said in verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. When you know this truth deep inside, it won't matter what the stock market's doing. It won't matter whether the economy's good or the economy's in the tank. Whether your job's good or your job's bad. It won't matter whether your boss recognizes if you did a great job to give you a raise or not. All that will matter is that you know that God is the meter of all your needs, and God doesn't need the stock market to flourish to bless you. He doesn't need the economy to be great to bless you. He doesn't need your job to bless you. When you're in line for a blessing from God, you know what? Hey, nothing can stand in the way of the blessing. It's going to come to you no matter what, because it's God. You understand that? Content people know that God is the need meter. Quit looking to your mutual funds and the economy and the gas prices and your job as the meter of your needs. God is the meter of all your needs, and according to what? His riches and glory in Christ. The Bible says that God owns it all, has it all, and it's all his. He says the earth is his and all that is in it. If you need a little bit, God can provide you a little bit. I was listening to somebody the other day talking about their church needing $100 million for a building from $100 million. And my eyes roll back in my head when I heard it. I was like, wow, and all we're trying to raise is a million. Not 100 of them. And God says, I can do anything. The size is irrelevant. I don't want it all anyway. And when you realize that I'm the one that's going to meet your needs, not the people, not the economy, not whether it's good or it's bad, I'll keep on. Content people have joy because, and when they go through stuff, they'll be a great example no matter what. Listen, somebody around you, somebody in your circles need to see the Jesus that's alive in you. Somebody in the middle of you going through stuff is going to look at you one day and say, man, I watched you go through that trial. I watched you go through that difficult season of your life, and yet you never lost your joy. How is that? Jesus. That's the only way. Content people, go with the flow. Don't complain about where you are. Just go with the flow. It's where you are right now. It's not where you're going to stay. They find their strength in Christ. Paul said, I can do anything. Do all things through Christ. Whether I'm on the top of the mountain or in the valley, whether I'm in the middle or somewhere else, no matter where I am, I can do it with Christ. Come on, you can do it. And let blessings flow through them. Quit being on order of a blessing. You want more blessing? Anybody want more blessing? Yeah, we all want more blessing. Then let the blessing flow through you and then realize that God meets all your needs. You just stand with me. Listen, if you learn to live this way, joy will be part and parcel of your life. And as I told you early in the series, that the fruit of the Spirit are there in all of us. And if you want to see more of them, you got to exercise them. You got to work them out a little bit so that people start to see them. Joy is like the muscles in your body, right? The more you work, the more you see. Listen, the more you choose to live in the joy of the Lord, the more the joy of the Lord will be the way you live. I don't want the joy of the Lord to be just I'm there sometimes and sometimes not. I want the joy of the Lord to be the way I wake up every day. Listen, remember, tomorrow morning when you're down or the devil's lying to you about some situation that you're facing, say, look, devil, let me just remind you something. Jesus always finished what he starts, and he ain't done with me yet. I'm going to humble myself before my God, because I know that humility is a pathway to joy. That my path, every time he reminds you of your past, every time he gives you, remember what you did? Say, yeah, I remember what I did. And Jesus said, I'm completely forgiven. forgiven. Thank you very much. My past is behind me. The next time that financial problem raises its ugly head, I'm not worried. There's no reason for me to worry. I can stand on the promise of God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to work hard, do my part, and trust God for the rest. And finally, my joy is going to be found in contentment. Oh, I didn't say I was satisfied. I said I was content. I'm going to be content being where I am at this moment, knowing that God has a promise of a future that's better than where I am today, and I'm standing on that promise. Every one of you that's standing on that promise, and you're content with knowing that you're not going to stay where you are, I want you to come and join me right here. The content. Come and join me right here. Satisfaction is for the status quo. And ain't none of you people want to live in status quo living, right? Because what status quo is what? God to go. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. I am so thankful for the people of New Beginnings Church, God, the ones standing here at the altar this morning, God, who are saying, God, we are not going to be satisfied with just okay. Okay is not enough for us. We are children of Almighty God, and we realize that there's always going to be something more for us, that our hope is in you, our trust is in you. No matter where I am today is not where I'm going to stay. We are believing that you have something greater for us, and we're going to be content as we wait, and we will wait full of the joy of Almighty God, and we're going to give you thanks and praise along the way, and we're going to make sure that people know that we're content waiting on Jesus. And we give it all to you today in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you, everyone. Sunday, we'll see you next week.